Explaining football to the friend who's just there for the nachos? Hard. Tailgating from home like a pro with snacks and drinks everyone will love? An easy win. And with Instacart helping deliver the snack time MVPs to your door, you're ready for the game in as fast as 30 minutes. So you never miss a play or lose your seat on the couch or have to go head-to-head for the last chicken wing. Shop game day faves on Instacart and enjoy $0 delivery fees on your first three grocery orders. Offer valid for a limited time. Other fees and terms apply.
You're listening to the Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show with Sal Capaccio. Brought to you by Northtown Automotive. Whatever you're looking for, you'll find it at Northtown. Shop online at northtownauto.com.
Allen wide open to Cook in the left flat, racing to the end zone. Is he in? Yes, he is. The Cook has found the kitchen. Handoff goes to Cook, and he sails into the end zone for his second touchdown of the game. One receiving, one rushing. Handoff goes to Cook, and a work through the middle, through a hole, and into the secondary. 30, 25, 20, 10, 5, flips into the end zone for the touchdown. 49 yards for James Cook, his third touchdown of the game. And it is a raucous celebration on the Buffalo sideline. Oh, my.
Isn't this the best kind of Friday? I mean, it's a Buffalo Bills victory football Friday here on WGR Sports Radio 550 on the Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show. Boy, it's just the best way to start a Friday. After a big Bills victory on a Thursday night, you know, you have all weekend to kind of celebrate it, watch the rest of the games go on and go, oh yeah, everybody else can kind of catch up to the Bills. They're the only 2-0 team. The Bills are the only 2-0 team in the NFL. They've played two games, only them and the Dolphins have done that, and they've won both of them. The only 2-0 team. So you can enjoy that as the weekend goes on. You can enjoy today as you listen to the Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show, brought to you by Northtown Automotive. Whatever you're looking for, you'll find it at Northtown. Shop online at northtownauto.com. And, of course, it is a Buffalo Bills Victory Football Friday. And that is always brought to you by Celino Law. Car crash? Call Celino. And by Crosby's Pizza and Subs. Start your game day the Crosby's way. It is a fantastic day to wake up and think about the Bills and look at the standings and what they were able to do to the Miami Dolphins. Kind of stress-free last night too, right? In a lot of ways. I mean, it's always stressful until it starts happening. It was 7-7 for a brief while. Then the Bills just dominated the rest of the game. They really dominated from start to finish. Sal Capaccio here. I'm going to be talking all about that today with you on the Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show. Got in late last night. Plane landed at about 4:15 a.m. Got back home and settled in after getting everything ready here to go to bed and unwind, I guess. I don't know. About 5 in the morning. So running on not a lot of sleep. Try to get a little sleep on the plane, but always tough to do that. I'm not too bad at sleeping on planes. I can do it. But by the time I finished my work, had my article done, you're wired, right? For me, it's always tougher on those game night, those late night plane rides to sleep simply because I got adrenaline pumping still, right? I'm still kind of wired a little bit from the game. And then you get back and you're like, all right, here we go. And then, of course, wake it up. And I've had to wake up after nighttime losses before to get on the radio. And it's not pretty to know that you got to get on the radio and still do the job. And I'm here for you. But it makes it a lot easier on a day like today, doesn't it? But what's going to help me today is you giving me a call. 803-0550 is the number. 803-0550. What we're going to do today on a Buffalo Bills football Friday and a victory football Friday is do a little of a, you know, a look back, of course, a recap, some post-game stuff. It was so late last night. Maybe a lot of you went to bed right after the game. Hopefully you stuck around and listened to WGR, but I'm going to play some post-game sound for you too. We'll hear from Sean McDermott. We'll hear from Josh Allen. We're going to hear from DeMar Hamlin in a little while here about what happened on the field in the Tua situation, which I feel like I'd be remiss if I didn't start with. It was very somber in that stadium last night as Tua Tagovailoa lay on the field. Not that it wouldn't be for anybody else, but I'm here to tell you, as someone who was there, everyone knew immediately what was happening. DeMar Hamlin back in Cincinnati, when he was on the field, there was a lot of wondering what was going on. Everyone knew it was a serious situation. Nobody really knew what was happening. And then as the word started to filter, that's how. But you couldn't really see in plain sight what was going on, right? I will tell you, though, in a lot of ways, last night felt like that night in Cincinnati in the stadium. There were a lot of Bills fans, as there normally are. Lots of blue jerseys and red jerseys and white Bills jerseys. And, of course, there are a lot of Dolphins fans. And they're wearing their teal and their white. But everyone was standing. Pretty much everybody silent. Watching what was happening. Because as opposed to the DeMar situation in Cincinnati, this was Tua in the open field. As soon as he got hit, he stayed down, went down. You saw the posturing of the arm immediately. And everyone knew right away. Players were calling trainers out. And because of this particular player and his issues that he's had with concussions over the last few years, everyone understood the gravity of it, even more so maybe than if it was another player who hadn't had these particular issues. It's always going to be, you know, a pretty heavy, serious situation, but I think that made it obviously even more so. And in a game that, let's be honest, at the time was pretty much out of hand. I mean, they were driving to try and score to make it, would have been, what, 31-17 if they had. And sure enough, you know, you could come back from that. But the game was pretty much near the end of the third quarter. Yeah, they still had time. They definitely had time. You can come back from that. But in that situation, too, right? Man, like, the game's kind of out of hand, too. That happens. And then I don't know how many people realized it was DeMar who to a hit. DeMar didn't hit Tua. Tua hit DeMar. And I don't know how many people realized that right away when that happened. We were wondering, too. When it first happened, I thought, was it Taylor Rapp? And then I saw the replay. No, it was DeMar. And, of course, that particular situation, Tua hitting DeMar, Tua staying down. Here's Tua with his history of concussions. Here's DeMar with his heart that stopped on the field a year and a half ago, almost 2 years ago. And he gets hit in the chest by Tua in the sternum area. Roger Goodell is in the stadium. He was at the game last night. He's there. These two players, who there's been a lot made of their particular health situations, it was really, I guess sometimes, I don't know if I should say coincidental or ironic. They're both, you know, interchangeable sometimes, I guess. But whatever that word is, that's what it was. And, of course, immediately after the game, we go into the locker room and people want to hear from DeMar and his what he's thinking and what kind of space he's in after the game, after being on the other end of that particular situation with Tua Tagovailoa. Here's DeMar Hamlin right after the game last night.
Collision seems sort of similar to the one that you experienced too. Was there any thought of that in your mind after the play? Did that go through your mind at all?
Nah, man, it's football. You know what I'm saying? Like, I did the hard last year to, you know, free my mind, be able to know that, you know, the field is one of the safest places to be for my situation to happen. You know, we got so many professionals that practice routine situations like that happening, and you know, it was a result of me being able to come back. So, you know, my mind is free, my mind is clear. So, you know, I'm just out there just trying to play football.
Players were waving immediately. Dolphins players were. Did you know that he was hurt? Right.
I mean, he was on the ground for a little bit. So, I mean, respectfully, I kind of knew something was up with him, but. I mean, it was moving around, so you know, I didn't know if it was a cramp or whatever he had going on.
DeMar, what was it like to watch a guy like Jamarcus, you know, today gets the first pick to kind of swing the game early on, and then of course the pick six?
It was amazing to watch it. You know, he's somebody who I seen, you know, start from the bottom and just work his way in. You know, a trial guy who just, you know, has been consistent from day one. And, you know, don't worry about nothing but doing his job one play at a time and keeping it simple, you know. And that's when you get results like that. You know, I see him go through his process day in, day out, regardless of the results. You know what I mean? So to see him have a crazy day like he just did today was, like, phenomenal. So, you know, I told him, first thing I told him is you deserve it, bro. You know, like, he deserved it. He showed up, he works hard every day, you know, and who better than him? You know what I mean?
How nice is it to have the Lemon Days off for you, for your body, for everything?
It's good, but, you know, we early in the season, so, yep. You know, I'm trying to, like, keep stacking. You know, this is like, I'm trying to, like, keep growing, keep getting better, keep improving. You know, so it's early. You know, I got a little, like, I feel good. You know, I could play another game right now. So, you know, I'm going to just keep working, keep, you know, perfecting my craft so that I can keep getting better throughout the season.
Tamar Hamlin in the locker room after the game. Mike McDaniel, the head coach of the Miami Dolphins, is speaking right now to reporters in Miami. And he has, it was just tweeted out by Adam Beasley, quote from Mike McDaniel, "The best thing I can do is not assess what this means from a football standpoint," end quote, when it comes to Tua. So, Tua's injury obviously puts back on the spotlight, as it has been for a while here, and we know, you know, concussions and what's happened to CTE, a lot of the, you know, former players and what they've gone through. This has been kind of really building, and we really came to the forefront maybe, what, 10, 15 years ago now, when the movie Concussion came out and all the CTE research and all the things that, you know, we've learned about that. And back in the forefront, not just with this particular player, but with everyone, because of things that have happened on the field and what we know about post-playing. I'm going to say last night was tough for anybody who loves this game to watch. Tough. And sometimes it's really hard to reconcile those kinds of things when you love the game so much. That's the standpoint I come from. You all know me. I'm a football guy through and through, right? Yes, of course. I love the Sabres and talking about hockey, grew up in Buffalo sports, whatever, like all that. I'm a sports guy. Baseball doesn't matter. But I mean, man, football is my passion and first love. I played the game when I was younger. I coached the game. I've been around the game my entire life in some capacity. Entire life. Some of the greatest mentors and people in my life I've ever known are my football coaches. Some of my greatest friends to this day are my former teammates growing up, Pop Warner, high school. When you play this game, you get an appreciation for what it does for the camaraderie and the character building that it does in your life. And that's why I always say football is, to me, the greatest game, the greatest sport. It provides you so many things that, to me, you just wouldn't get in other avenues of life and in other sports. Now, I know people could say, well, you should try playing soccer or this sport. I get it. Like, that's your, like, if you're for that sport, you could say that. But for me, nothing like football when it comes to that. But with that comes, I think, for anybody who's been around the game, anybody who's played the game, an understanding and a risk of how violent the game can be. About 10 years ago, when all the CTE concussion stuff started coming up, there was this push to kind of, from some people, just kind of poo-poo it aside, right? Just like don't look over here. Don't look at the big elephant in the room. I took the other approach. My approach has always been with this stuff. Yes, we need to recognize this, because once we recognize it and we understand it, we can make our game safer. If we want this game to be as greatest game as we can and grow this game, and I love the grassroots of it, I love the high school part of it, I want to teach, I love the technique of it, teaching it and the practice and what goes into it. Like, we want to continue that. We have to recognize how we keep it going and building it and making it stronger and better than ever for everyone who comes aboard. And by saying, yes, these are issues that we have to correct. These, the concussions, the hits, the CTE, how do we, with the equipment, the guardian caps, whatever it is, the sports science, embrace all of that, because that's how we're going to make this game better. That's why last night, like, it is so hard to reconcile all of those things. And it's just tough to see a guy like that who, all, you know, by all accounts is such a wonderful human being, but understand and say, well, he plays football, right? This is what happens. And I don't know. I'm not in a position. None of us are in a position to tell Tua Tagovailoa what to do. His doctors will, I'm sure, make recommendations, and he's going to talk it with over with his family. We can all have opinions. He shouldn't play again. A lot of people are saying that today. I respect that. But it is, last night was tough to watch, tough to be a part of. And Deion Dawkins said it best after the game. He had said, Yes, they're enemies when they're playing, but it's a fraternity. And I'm telling you, look, I'm not on the field. I'm not playing. The people on the sidelines with me aren't playing. Those are the players who are playing. But if you're a part of the NFL on a daily basis, if you're a part of football on a daily basis, there is a camaraderie still and a fraternity of all of these people who are together and playing, looking out for one another. And when you're a part of that, and we covering this team, covering a league. I mean, not as much as the players and coaches. Again, I'm not trying to put it on that level, but I would tell you, you spend so much time with these people, and you understand what they're putting into the game that can be so and should be so rewarding for them. So a day like today is tough for me to talk about because all of the things that we try to make to say how great the game can be and how safe it can be, and then you see that because you know that's the risk of it still, right? I really hope Tua Tagovailoa is okay. I don't know if he's ever going to play football again. If he decides to, if he's medically cleared, then hopefully he never suffers another concussion. If he decides to walk away today, tomorrow, next week, at the end of the season, I totally respect that. And we'll see where it goes for the Miami Dolphins and for Tua. 803-0550. Let's talk about this game on the field and what an absolute dominant performance by the Buffalo Bills defense last night. Last night was the perfect kind of way the Bills want to win football games this year, I believe, which is control this game with your defense, suffocate the other team. You do not have to ask Josh Allen to be Superman. You do not have to ask him to put on the cape and go out there and win games. And by the way, last night, because Josh was dealing with the hand injury and wearing the glove, even more so, perfect scenario for the Bills to walk out of there without having to put Josh Allen in any sort of risk whatsoever. He even didn't have to play the last drive or whatever it was in the fourth quarter. Just the perfect scenario. Now you go to 2-0. But the story of last night is the defense. It is what Sean McDermott and Bobby Babich are building here with this group. With this group. Jamarcus Ingram and Cam Lewis and Damar Hamlin and Baylen Spector has to come in, and Dorian Williams, who has to play now for Matt Milano. I said this last week, and I'm going to say it now again. Maybe last year was the step back year for the Bills. Maybe it's not this year. Maybe it was last year. They won a lot of games that were really close, or they lost games, late in games. They were there, like they just didn't have quite enough at the end, made some bad decisions, whatever. Maybe last year was the step back year for this team. Because an under-talked about story, an under-talked about part of the transition, which I know people have talked about, but an under-talked about part of it through this offseason has been that this Bills secondary has actually gotten younger and more athletic. And as much as I respect and love Jordan Poyer for what he did in a Buffalo Bills uniform for 7 years, the James Cook run was very similar to what we saw from Poyer several times last year and shows why the Bills basically moved on. You can criticize Sean McDermott, and it's fair criticism to say that this team has not played their best defense in the playoffs, and they haven't gotten over the Kansas City Chiefs, and they haven't gotten to a Super Bowl here in Josh Allen's window. All of that is fair. But how can you not watch, even if you are the biggest detractor of this head coach, how can you not watch what they did last night to that offense, considering the parts on this defense, and not understand why he is still the head coach of the Buffalo Bills and how fortunate the Bills have a coach that is that good, at least on one side of the ball, and at just organizational management and player development overall, and not really truly appreciate what the Bills have in an organization and in a head coach? I just don't think you can. You have to be able to. You could still have your questions and doubts and criticisms about playoff failures. I get all that. There's a lot of teams in this league that would dream to be where the Buffalo Bills are with their coaching staff. A lot. And what we saw from Bobby Babich last night, what we saw from Joe Brady last night, just really remarkable. And I've seen the word masterclass, or two words if you want to say it, thrown around a lot on social media over the last 12 hours? Absolutely true. Masterclass last night. Okay. Let's go to the phone lines. Tom has been waiting since the last show. So, Tom, thank you for calling. Thank you for waiting. You're on the Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show.
No problem, Sal. I was enjoying listening to the show. You stole 99% of what I was going to say. I could not agree with your take anymore. As a Bills fan, and you've been a Bills fan for a long time now, let's put it this way. When there's 13 seconds left in the clock and you're a real Bills fan, you're not convinced it's over. You know something's going to happen. And you put it perfectly earlier when you said last night was essentially stress-free. I cannot remember when it was stress-free. And what just occurred last night is they just shut down. They just three turnovers and at least two turnovers on downs against arguably a top five offense in the NFL without Taron Johnson, without either one of their starting linebackers, with two brand new safeties who I think are probably better. Like you just said, they probably are. They're younger, they're faster, they're probably better than Hyde and Poyer were at the end of the year. And two, in my opinion, cornerbacks who were literally fantastic yesterday. And I sit there and go, I can't remember. I've been a fan 52 years. I can't remember feeling this good about a football game to the point where I'm telling myself, Tom, you need to settle down. This team dominated them. And I'm sitting there saying, why? Is it because of all this development you said earlier in the earlier show? Is it because of how well they developed these young athletes like Ingram and Lewis and Rapp and Benford, who I personally believe is probably one of the most underrated players in the NFL? And I sit here and I wonder to myself, is Babich one of those things that we just aren't aware of how good he really is? In other words, is he a diamond in the rough? No one quite understood how good this man was, because what they did, I don't really understand if people I don't really think people can understand just how important and how they won that game yesterday. How they won that game yesterday. And so, Sal, I can't do anything other than repeat exactly what you said. And I'm just wondering if we got a gold mine in Babich. Thank you.
Yeah, thanks, Tom. Thanks for holding. Thanks for waiting. I think Bobby Babich is terrific at what he does as a general football coach. And we still don't know how great he'll be, how not great he'll be, I guess, as a defensive coordinator. But so far through two games, you know, all good returns through a game and a half at least, because he made great adjustments. They did on defense last week after they were down 17-3. And then this week just from the beginning, right? Yeah, I think Bobby Babich is really good. We know he's a great position coach. So we'll see where this goes with him. Let's go to Marvin on a cell. Hi, Marvin.
Hey, good morning, Sal. Great victory. I'm very happy. But you know, Marvin, I'm going to call out what I think is a problem. And I'm sure you went through all the things you did as a coach, and you're passionate about the game as I am. Epinesa, and I've called and talked to you about this guy a number of times. They eventually took him out. I know they were subbing guys because of the heat. But my fellows, some of the old-timers who watch, you could say 1,001 before the guy moved his feet. He is terrible off the ball. He cannot set the edge. And I think that Buffalo, by re-signing him, was a big mistake. I really feel sorry for Ed Oliver, because he needs a real stud in there, not retreads that we pick up, you know, for in the middle there. We need some young, big studs to offset his ability to shoot the gap. And that's my take on the defense. You know, I look at things to make the team better. We have we did a wonderful job, but you have to look at what Tua has done against Buffalo. Some teams that you have their number, and Tua has thrown more interceptions against touchdowns in his whole career against Buffalo, if you look at the stats. But the running was suspect to me. I really believe that they need a couple studs in the middle besides Oliver. Russo, solid. You get a little bit from Miller, but Epinesa is a problem on the line. And I truly, what I was seeing that Spector was getting eaten. These guys are, the linebackers are getting eaten up by the line because they can't even hold them off a little bit to plug it up so the linebackers can move from side to side. So that's my take on it. I'm glad we won. I'm a Bills fan, diehard. I think I called you last time, I'm getting old, but I remember about my I called you about the Kansas City Buffalo game in 64. So I've been around for a while. But Epinesa is he shouldn't be on the field. So my take on that, and I appreciate your response. Thank you.
Okay, my response is, first of all, I understand your concerns. I don't think his ball get off is great. I think AJ has been a player at times where he's really flashed, but I think you want a little more consistency from him. He actually did force Tua into that pick six last night. He had that. But I agree with some of your concerns. I don't agree about Ed Oliver not having guys. Daquan Jones is terrific, you know, being next to him. And I think when Smoot comes back, Dewan Smoot is a big loss right now. I do think they have that. But Marvin, here's my advice to you. I know you love the team. I know you're trying to look at it through a critical lens, and I totally appreciate that. Buddy, it's Friday. They won. Look at something positive and have a great weekend, brother. That's, you got it. You got me, right? All right, buddy. Thanks for calling. You got it. That's my take on that. Sean McDermott, after the game, we'll hear from him as he took the podium after the Bills' 31-10 victory over the Miami Dolphins. The Bills are 2-0. We'll take more of your phone calls here on a Football Friday, Victory Friday edition of the Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show.
Back to pass, fires over the middle, and looking for his receiver. It's intercepted. Picked off, and coming the other way is Jamarcus Ingram up the right sideline. Still on his feet and finally tackled in Miami territory at the 36. It deflected off the intended receiver and right into the waiting arms of Ingram.
Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Looking over the middle. Pressure coming. Has to heave it. And it's intercepted. Coming the other way. And going for six is Jamarcus Ingram. A 30-yard interception return for a touchdown. Tua's third pick of the night.
Chris Brown on the call right there on the Buffalo Bills Radio Network. Fantastic night at Hard Rock Stadium last night for the Buffalo Bills. 31-10 victory over the Miami Dolphins. Head coach Mike McDaniel of the Miami Dolphins is talking to reporters right now, or at least he did a little while ago, and he said they're not going to put a timeline on Tua Tagovailoa right now. Obviously, the concern is him and his health. They're going to assess that on a daily basis. That's, to be expected. He also said they're going to move forward with Skylar Thompson as their starting quarterback and will likely add a quarterback. I wonder if that's Mike White. I wonder if the Dolphins sign Mike White back from the Bills practice squad since he was there and knows their offense. He was there all offseason, and he lost out to Skylar Thompson for the backup role. They released him. They do have Tim Boyle on their squad, on their practice squad. So it might just mean, no, we're not going to do that. We'll bring Tim Boyle back. I think it would come down to, Mike White had a chance to join. He's not going to, you can't just take him on your practice squad for the Dolphins. You'd have to offer him a 53-man roster spot. And Mike White would then have a decision to make. He is all practice squad players are free agents. So the way it works is, let's say the Dolphins in this case go to Mike White and say, hey, we want to sign you to our active roster. Mike White would then have a decision to say, do I want to do that? Do I want to stay here in Buffalo in a practice squad? It's obviously a lot more money. Generally, guys are going to do that, but he doesn't have to. But the Dolphins could also say, no, we're going to roll with Tim Boyle. He's been here for a few weeks now. We're going to move him to the 53, and then they'll sign somebody else onto their practice squad. Ryan Tannehill is still also out there. I don't see that as an option right now for Miami. Maybe as this goes on, but I don't know what kind of money they'd want, he'd want, and that's something they're going to have to deal with. Skylar Thompson, though, is the presumed starter going forward right now in the immediate future for the Miami Dolphins. Speaking of head coaches, following the Bills' 31-10 victory down at Hard Rock Stadium, Bills head coach Sean McDermott took the podium to talk about it.
Okay, glory to God, man, just for putting us in this position to come down here and be down here with this team and on a short week, great team win. So, you know, I thought the important piece was after half, being able to come out and widen the lead was critical for us. James Cook really showed up in a lot of different ways tonight for us, and then the fourth down defense was pivotal. Fans, I mean, what else is there to say about the fans? I actually had someone come over during the game and ask me if this was a home game, which is pretty cool, right? Because there's so many Buffalo Bills fans here. So love it, man. Great environment for the Buffalo Bills. Appreciate all the fans making the trip down here. The Tua situation, and it didn't look good, and you know, our thoughts and prayers are with him and his family. We want the best for him, and with that, I'll turn it over to you for your questions.
Ron, how impressive your defense, losing Teron last week and then Bernard early in the game, how impressive to put on that performance without those two guys?
Yeah, again, next man up. The guys did a great job. Bale Inspector knew the game plan, prepared like he was going to start, and the results are the results. And then Jamarcus comes in again, gets another big play for us, and that's great to see. And these guys work hard, you know, so good things happen when you work hard, and sometimes the ball finds you like that. And again, it was a good team win. So all three phases, it's not about one person, but again, all three phases factored in the win, which is good to see. And still a lot of work to do, but we'll enjoy this playing right home, and the players will be able to get some rest, and some of the coaches as well and staff, so it'll be good.
What's the injury with Terrell?
I know what the area is. I just don't know the severity of it yet. So.
James Cook's touchdown catch up for him. How well designed was that?
Yeah, great call by Joe. Well executed. The timing on that, you know, I think they brought pressure on that play, and again, preparation by Joe and the offensive staff and the players executed.
Follow up on James, two rushing touchdowns after that. Not that he needed confidence, but what kind of momentum can he carry out of this game?
Yeah, again, you know, James just continues to grow and get better. He was one of our captains tonight, and you know, it's well deserved, right? So. He's from here, and I know it was important for him to play well, and he's just continuing to grow and develop, and just extremely proud of him.
Two wins in 5 minutes. This is tough slate. How proud are you of this group to sort of rally?
Yeah, again, I mean, we've got a lot of new players and whatnot, and you're never really sure. There's so many unknowns starting a season, and, you know, we come back the first week of the season and win, and I think that was a step for us, for any team to be able to say that you can do that, you can play in close games, and then this game, being able to come down here on a short week, to your point, at their place, and play like we did. We played our style of football, and I think we've got things to do to work and get some rest, like I said, but continuing to groove our football and what we're trying to do and what we're trying to become. Yeah, I think Coach Holcomb does a really good job, and those guys, you know, they want to be coached, they want to prepare, they want to be good, all the way up and down the depth chart that way, and so they realize that they may be a special teams player one day, and then the next day they're asked to play a lot or start, and Balin's a good example of that.
Okay, yeah. Bale Inspector stepped into the role vacated by Terrell Bernard last night after Bernard's injury. McDermott said right there he knew the area, but he didn't have the diagnosis. We know it's a pectoral injury because that was announced by the team. We know he didn't return. We also know that those injuries can be pretty severe. So we'll wait on word from Sean McDermott as far as the injury to Terrell Bernard. And if it's long-term and serious, and you're talking months, not weeks. I mean, man, it is going to be a difficult, difficult task without Matt Milano and Terrell Bernard. But don't we say that a lot? And it seems like they just step up and have guys rise up and have a good plan. And that's what happened last night in the moment. Also, for all those of you clamoring for Joe Andreessen to play in a Bills uniform, to get a jersey, the injury last night to Terrell Bernard, unfortunately, the injury due to that, most likely leads to Joe Andreessen being active next game, right? I mean, just look at the numbers. That's where I'm basing it off of. The numbers would tell you that Joe Andreessen will most likely be a guy that they would have to kind of step into the backup middle linebacker role behind Baylen Spector. So we'll see how that works out, though. Nothing for certain. They do not play until a week from Monday night. Let's go back out to the phone lines, get connected with our fans. Alex on a cell. Hi, Alex.
Good morning, Al. How are you?
I'm good. Thank
great
you.
To see, it was great to see the Sean McDermott's leadership. We really see the leadership when people get when we start losing players, which we've done for the past several years. Seems like we always lose a top three defensive starter. But credit to Sean McDermott's preparedness. He has the leadership. He has the permission to be led to lead these defensive players. They're all buying in by you're seeing guys who would never get chances to start stepping in. And it doesn't matter the number on the back of the jersey. They're all playing late. I can't even tell, you know, who's playing. They're all there. Last year, when the Bills were having that rough part, we kept hearing complimentary football. We heard it so much to the point where I was waiting for it in the interviews, and every time I heard it, it irked me because I felt like it was an excuse. But today, I'm preaching complimentary football. Josh healthy.
It's funny how that works, isn't it? I know, right?
It's amazing. Amazing how I love complimentary football now because this is what it looks like. And thank you, That's Sal, funny. And you know, for all that you do. And go Bills.
You got it, Alex. Thanks a lot. It's funny. He's like, I'm tired of hearing about complimentary football. It's just platitudes. What they say. It's football stuff. It's that football coach thing they do. And they say, today he's like, dude, that was great complimentary football. See, you got it. You got it. It's in your blood now, Alex. See, that's why they do it. That's why coaches do it. That's why players do it. You just keep hammering it. Because then when it happens, you're like, oh, yeah, that's what it is. And you cut. It's a buy-in, right? Alex, you just bought into the culture. That's what you did right there here on the Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show. We'll take a timeout. When we come back, we'll hear more from Locker Room after last night's game. Jamarcus Ingram, obviously, with a fantastic night. We'll hear from him, Rasul Douglas, and a lot more on the Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show. Sal Capaccio here. Let's be back in a snap. It is brought to you by Snapdragon Apples, the official apple of the Buffalo Bills.
Back to pass, rolls out to his right, looking downfield, finds Ty Johnson complete at the 4, and he's tackled at the 1-yard line by Jalen Ramsey. Allen bought as much time as he could. Ty Johnson sprung free late and he hit him. Tua back to pass, looking deep down the right sideline. He overshot it and it's intercepted. Picked off by Christian Benford. He overshot the intended receiver and had all time in the pocket. He just misfired, Eric. A costly INT. The second in 3 possessions for Tua.
That was Christian Benford's pick, and that was just a bad overthrow by Tua, right? Benford stepped in front of it. Great job there by Christian Benford. He had a fantastic game as well. I gave him an arrow up. Check it out. Arrow up, arrow down, WGR550.com. Let's go to Bob Strikersville. Hi, Bob.
Hi, how you doing? Great game. I'm glad they won. I just don't understand why Tukula dove head first when he went down. Why didn't he slide with his legs?
I don't know. I mean, you know, quarterbacks.
With this history of concussions, why would you head first? Why?
Well, I don't know, Bob. I mean, but, you know, it's the same question you ask about a lot of quarterbacks that do that sometimes. Josh Allen, we ask that about sometimes, and I don't have that answer. He probably, you know, could have and should have, but, you know, it goes very fast, right? Hold on. It goes very fast. He's running. He's trying to make a play. He's trying to get a first down. We can all second guess it all we want, but, you know, it's tough. And until you ask him that, I don't know. Maybe he'll tell you he should have.
Well, didn't he already have the first down?
I think so, Bob. But like I said, you know, he's trying to make a play. He's playing football, and it's very, very fast. We can criticize him all we want, but I think that that's just, you know, it's the nature of the game sometimes how it happens. Here's another Bob in Syracuse. Hi, Bob.
Hey, Sal. So I have a couple questions and concerns. Obviously, you know, we all know that Bernard is likely going to be out for the season. So I kept a close eye on Spector. And I'm just wondering that it really kind of concerns me if he's going to play Mike the rest of the season. I like him. I think he's a great player. I think he's a little bit undersized. I'm just wondering if you think, or if they think that they might actually move Williams over to the Mike linebacker and then play Morrow a little bit more. I think that, I don't know how confident they are in that, but to ride Spector this whole year, I just don't think that's going to be a good move. I'll hang up and listen to.
Well, hold on, don't hang up. Hold on.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
He's much bigger than Terrell Bernard, by the way. You say he's undersized. He's bigger than Terrell Bernard.
Well,
and Terrell Bernard
is
6'6". Hold on. Bernard is 6'1", 224. Bailyn Spector, he's 6 foot 233, weighs 10 pounds heavier.
Okay,
you know?
So let me rephrase. I don't know if he has the ability, as obviously
sure.
I don't think he's not as good as Bernard. We know that to be able to shake off tight end.
No, I get it. Look, he's a backup for a reason. Yeah, he's not a starter, right?
Williams,
I have some concerns.
Might be,
no, I take it to your second question, Bob. I'm sorry, I couldn't hear you there, and I was talking over you, and I apologize for that. No, to get to your question, I do not think they would do that. Dorian Williams is where he needs to be. He's not a Mike linebacker. The Bills move him to Will linebacker because he flies to the ball. He has more freedom to go sideline to sideline. They could put him in different positions to do that. Bailyn Spector understands the defense. He's the green dot when he's out there. So, no, I don't think they'll do that. I know there's going to be concerns, no doubt. I even said earlier this morning that
go deeper in free agency to see if they could grab somebody to play the middle linebacker.
To start?
No, just as depth. I know that Andrew.
No. I think Joe Andreessen is your backup, and he's looked pretty good so far. So, no, I think we're a long way from that, Bob. I think you have right to be concerned, but I think you're jumping the gun way too much here.
Okay. Fair enough.
Yep. All right, you got it. Thanks, Bob. Appreciate the call. All right, 803-0550 is the number to call. Jamarcus Ingram, what a fantastic game he had. I think he could win AFC Defensive Player of the Week. The Bills already had one last week in Greg Rousseau. Here's Jamarcus Ingram after the big win and the two picks, including a pick six.
A couple of interceptions. You're the first UB player to record two interceptions in an NFL game. One of them a pick six. Can you reflect on your big performance and kind of the whirlwind that you've experienced over these past 2 weeks to thrust into action?
Oh, man, it's a blessing, you know, to just be in this position. But I would say really just my mindset, you know, every week and every day coming in, preparing and telling myself, you know, that I'll be in position to make plays. You know, I'll be in position to make that play whenever that play comes. I just always tell myself that.
Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Everything you ever dreamed of?
Yeah, it's you know what I'm saying? It's a feeling that I don't even got words to describe.
The second one, did you believe that it was coming to you on that play?
Nah, I couldn't. I was just doing my job, and, you know, it just fell right out the sky.
What happened on that play? What exactly did happen there?
It looked like, you know, our D-line, they was rushing, you know what I'm saying, real good, and got him off the spot, and he just threw it away. Looked like he was trying to throw it away, and, you know, I was just running to the ball and caught it and took it to the crib.
Jamarcus, you went from Sean mentioned after the game against Arizona that you may not have even been up that day if it weren't for the injury. And to go from that to playing such a central role in two wins in the span of, you know, 5 days, just what goes through your mind, like that quick of a turnaround?
It's a lot, you know, especially getting told, you know, that I might not be up. But my mindset is, you know, preparing like I'm a starter, you know, no matter what. But it's still, you know, things that I feel, and it's a lot to, you know, be able to step up in those moments. And the fact that they got faith in me to be able to do that, it's just a blessing to be a part of this organization that I can step up in those moments and make plays.
What's the support been like from your teammates? Obviously talking about the journey, but that sideline was insane when you went over there. What was that like?
Like I said, I don't even really got the words to describe it, but I know I got a group of teammates, you know, that love me, and I love them as well. And, you know, I can't be more blessed and thankful for the organization that I play for, my teammates, you know, and just the position that I'm in.
Walk us through the first interception as well, if you could. Was it just the right place, right time?
Yeah, just doing my job. And, you know, CB made a hell of a play on the ball, and just running to the ball, I was able to, you know, come up with that one. So.
Jamarcus Ingram right there, big pick to start the game, swings the game right there. Like, that's a huge shift in the tone of the game. You want to say momentum? Whatever. Maybe there's no momentum right there, but it just set the tone for the game and allowed the Bills to take the lead, which, by the way, big play on the first drive for the Bills. We'll talk about when we get back. We'll recap some of this game from the stat line as well. We'll hear from more players. We'll do all of it in the Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show on a Buffalo Victory Football Friday. We'll come right back here on WGR.
Tua back by himself in the pocket, and he's sacked! Taken down by Ed Oliver. Ride him, Cowboy!
You're listening to the Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show with Sal Capaccio. Brought to you by Northtown Automotive. Whatever you're looking for, you'll find it at Northtown. Shop online at northtownauto.com.
Great call by Joe. Well executed. The timing on that, you know, I think they brought pressure on that play. And again, preparation by Joe and the offensive staff and the players executed.
Welcome back here to the Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show. Sal Capaccio with you on a Football Friday. Brought to you by Salino Law. Car crash? Call Salino. And by Crosby's Pizza and Subs. Start your game day the Crosby's way. Let's right away get to our Barnes Firm injury report. It's brought to you by the Barnes Firm. Car crash? For help, call 1-800-8-MILLION. And obviously, all eyes on Terrell Bernard. What his status is, his situation is. Not really sure, you know, how long he'll be out, but that kind of injury can keep you out really long term. And if the Bills are going to be without Terrell Bernard for the next couple of months, it's going to be really, really tough to deal with. Had a caller a little while ago bring it up about Terrell Bernard and say about, who was he talking about? Bale Inspector and not being able to fit in, not being able to, you know, maybe be the main backup and what he's seen from him, which is totally respectful. And would they go down the road of a free agent? And had a respectful call, and we're allowed to disagree. And then I had L-Dog tweet at me. L-Dog, thanks for tweeting at me, who says that I've seen a bit shorter and jerkier with callers lately. And I don't know what that means exactly, but hey, sorry you feel that way. We're allowed to debate or disagree, but we had a good call. It was very cordial and respectful. I couldn't hear the caller, though, for a little while. My headphones, for some reason, he was talking, and I apologized for talking over him. So, sorry you feel that way, L-Dog. Also, I am working on, like, 3 hours sleep from the plane ride. It's okay. Not an excuse. So, if you feel that way, my apologies, but not at all. I hope you don't. Try to give everybody a space and time here to say what they want to say, but we don't have to agree all the time. It's just the way it goes. Marvin called in earlier. We had a lot of fun. He wanted to be negative Nancy today calling up, and I said, what are you doing, man? Have some fun, right? Your team won. We laughed about it. So sorry you feel that way, but thanks for the call, L-Dog. That's getting connected with our fans. Thanks for the tweet, I should say. You can tweet me at Sal Sports. It's brought to you by Northtown Kia, Western New York's number one Kia dealer. Shop online at northtownkia.com. Let's go to Mike in Lockport. What's going on, Mike?
Hey, I totally disagree with L-Dog. You're always respectful, and you're always on top of your game.
And, that's all right. L-Dog's still my dog. It's all good.
Okay, well, that's good. Anyway, I wanted to comment on the value of number one, injury time. And number two, when the game is out of hand in the early third quarter, still got the rest of the game to go. There is so much value in live reps against rostered players on the opposition. And it's good for, like, the offensive line when to get a running game tweaked. You're not going to be able to mimic that in practice when you're going FUD and everything. The end of the game, I'm watching secondary, and I'm 24, 20. Oh, yeah, Cole Bishop. He's out there. I don't know how well he did or anything, but he's out there getting live reps. And, I, you know, it's a little tempered by the Tua thing. It's got brings me memories of Hamlin and everything. But still, to have the bye, the extended bye, or the mini bye after that, those reps at our bottom of our roster got yesterday, and, you know, Baylen Specter, at the time he had calling the defense, I thought he did great. It was seamless, and I just want to comment for the second game of the year. I think we got some really good live football for our roster, and I'm happy about that.
Yeah, that's really good. Those are hidden snaps and hidden reps, right, Mike? That they add up, right? If you can leave a game 31-10, and in the fourth quarter you're giving your reserves time, number one, it takes, you know, obviously off of your starters to play, but you're raising a great point. I mean, Cole Bishop hadn't played a snap in the NFL until last night. He doesn't play those snaps if they're not blowing him out in the fourth quarter. Those snaps mean something for him to get those reps, which is, I'll give you another one, Mike. How about this? Do you notice Jamarcus Ingram was playing the nickel corner last night late in the game? So Jamarcus Ingram, who comes in to play dime safety, is normally a boundary corner. He now gets reps at nickel corner because he's now the backup there to Cam Lewis.
Yeah, and Von Miller gets to sit down and do some maintenance, yep. And, here we go.
You got it, Mike. Thanks a lot for the phone call. Really appreciate it. Good call to bring up. Good thought. Pat in Niagara Falls. Hi, Pat. Go ahead. You're on WGR.
Sale, you sound so fresh, man. You really do. I'm
trying, man. I'm trying. Got in about 5 hours ago, I think.
Have you even been to bed yet? Jeez.
A little bit. I tried to sleep on the plane. Can you sleep on a plane, Pat? Can you sleep on a plane?
I got a gift given to me from my grandfather. God rest his soul. So I could pass out anywhere at any time.
Oh my gosh! Wow. I was able to doze off a little bit, but I'm after a game. I have so much adrenaline pumping. It's harder for me. So you know what I mean. So no matter what, and I'm writing my article. I'm scrambling to get it posted. Arrow up, arrow down. We're on the bus going to the airport. And I'm like, I got to get it before we get on the plane. Got to get it. And I'm going hard. And then I get on the plane. I'm like, all right, now I can't even sleep. So there you go.
Yeah. The adrenaline after that beat down is it'll take probably till Sunday to come down. But just want to ask a couple questions real quick. So yeah. I hate to put a damper on everything. We know they're not Bills are not going undefeated. It's how they're gonna. I want to see how this team's gonna rebound after a loss. Mm-hmm. You know they poured their heart and soul in the game last year against Miami when they blew them out, and they stumbled a lot. And it's. I think the key thing is how they're going to rebound from a loss, and you know, hopefully Bernard's injury is not as bad as it sounds. And secondly, during the game, I know you couldn't hear it last night, but Kurt Herbstreit made a good point about why is Tyreek Hill on the bench so much in the second half. He brought up in the fourth quarter, basically saying he's. I know they're getting blown out. It's not good. But he should be out there taking reps or even trying to just get this team back in it or show a little bit of motivation towards the others. I'd love to hear your take on something like that.
Yeah, a couple things. First of all, rebound after a loss. I think Sean McDermott's been very good in his career about this. If you go back to last year, they were very uneven and they were going win-loss. But every time they lost, they lose to Jacksonville, beat the Giants. They lose to the Patriots, beat the Buccaneers. They did have two in a row after that. And then they lost to the Eagles and then went on a big run. Throughout Sean McDermott's tenure, they've always rebounded well after a loss. This is a new team, though. So, you know, we'll see. Let's hope that loss doesn't come for a while, but it's going to happen and we'll see. As far as Tyreek, one thing I noticed, too, you say the Herbstreit comment. I didn't notice that, Pat, and I didn't hear it, obviously. What I did see, though, when I mentioned this on the broadcast, on our broadcast last night, was right was it the sequence when Tua got hurt? I think it was that sequence. Right after that, Tyreek on first down and second down, Skylar Thompson comes in, and on first down and second down, both plays, Tyreek Hill at the end of the play kind of did like a squat type thing, and he hit both of his thigh pads with his fists, like in frustration, and you could see that happening. And I think that just the overall kind of suffocation the Bills have had of Tyreek Hill, and then what happened with Tua, I'm sure was a little bit frustrating, but it just seemed like it was mental even more than physical, maybe, than, you know, with his situation.
Yeah, and I think the more I remember of what Herbstreit said is he shouldn't be sitting down on the bench, him and Waddle both. They should be up encouraging the others at least or being a team leader is I think more of what he's gearing towards.
Yeah, I get it, and I get it, and I understand that, Pat. Thanks for the call. And the other thing is, I'll tell you, if you remember early on in the game, they go deep to Tyreek Hill, right? Christian Benford, a really nice pass breakup. Because it's a deep throw and he runs down the field, he leaves the field. You know who else left the field? Jalen Waddle. They go to that key third down. The Dolphins have a big third down and long earlier in the game. Neither guy's on the field. I mean, like, yeah, that's just something. And I get it. Circumstance. They're running the routes. They're running down the field, whatever. But, yeah, it just seemed, you know what it seemed to me early in the game? I'll say it this way. The Dolphins almost understood that the Bills were taking away Tyreek Hill, so they had to figure out ways to get him more involved. And that's why you saw some of those pitches. He had, like, nothing. On arrow up, arrow down, if you go to WGR550.com, check it out. I gave an arrow up to the Bills in the way they defended Hill and Waddle. Tyreek Hill, 6 targets, 3 catches for 24 yards. Waddle, 4 catches for 41 yards. Combined, 7 catches for 65 yards. The Miami Dolphins' longest play of the day yesterday was a 21-yard pass, an immediate tackle from Tua to Jalen Waddle, their longest play. They had one play over 20 yards. That was a 21-yard pass that had no run after catch. I mean, more on the day that, you know, the Bills had on defense. But how about also on the offensive side for Sean McDermott? A very underrated moment in this game. It was the very first drive. McDermott elects to go for it on 4th and 3 from the Dolphins' 17-yard line. 17-yard line, 4th and 3. If you remember, the play before that was a 3rd and 2. The Bills lost a yard with a Ty Johnson run. They go to 4th and 3. McDermott calls timeout. From there, I'm thinking, okay, they might just reevaluate and go to a kick here because they didn't like the defense. Just get some points. And I'm thinking, you know what happens in those moments? I'm thinking, what are the fans saying? I'm not on Twitter. I'm not online. I can't. I'm watching the game, doing my job. And I'm thinking, are the fans, there's going to be a segment of fans going, I love this, right? There's going to be another segment going, oh my God, you just had a free point. Just take the points. You just got the ball for free. You just had the interception. And I'm thinking, what are the fans dealing with and talking about? Well, it turned out great. Whether you like the decision or not, it was a great decision in the end because Joe Brady comes up with a great play call and design, and you obviously know they were saving that for that right moment. You only get like one chance to run a play like that, and they hit James Cook, Josh does, for a 17-yard touchdown. 4th and 3, 17 yards, 17-yard touchdown from the 17-yard line. Great play call, great aggressiveness by Sean McDermott. Really underscored what he thought about how they had to go about attacking that game. On his weekly radio program with me here a couple days ago on Wednesday, if you listen to that, I thought it was very telling and interesting. He kind of tipped his hand. McDermott said in that radio interview on Wednesday, he said, when you play the Dolphins, it's not about yards, it's about points. And I thought, does that mean he's going to go for it and be aggressive a couple of times? And he was there. Carl in Connecticut. Go ahead, Carl. You're on the Extra Point Show.
Yep. How you doing?
Good. Thanks, buddy.
Good. Hey, unbelievable yards after catch. Shakir Kincaid, there was one Kincaid caught on the side. He did a spin, and he got that extra 3 or 4 yards. I mean, at the end of the day, those little things all add up. So my hat's off to them. The defense, my God, the way they swarm, it's like, let them catch the short stuff. But very few missed tackles compared to the Dolphins game. And then there was that one pass where Allen was rolling out right. Typical, waits the last minute, a foot before the sideline. He drills it to, who is the running back? I don't know who he is. He caught the ball and got to the 1, which was insane. And then one shout out to my man Sal. I don't know if you remember me, but we came, I took a picture of you with the banner with my nephew on it, with my sister. Awesome experience. I appreciate you. And by the way, when we were tailgating in that Miami game, or not the Miami, the Cardinals game, apparently they're doing a documentary on the Bills Mafia, and it might be on Netflix next year. And I had the opportunity to get interviewed for that with that banner in the background. So kudos to you, Sal. Appreciate you. I listen to you often, and I'll listen. Can I stay on and listen? Because, again, I'm on a delay.
Sure, sure. No, I mean, it's listen, I mean,
By the way,
you know,
I'm wearing the hat you autographed. And everybody asks me whose name is it. And, of course, they say Sal. And if you don't know, I'm going WGR. So go ahead, Sal. Sorry.
And that's okay. And I know on the banner that I saw you with, that was there was a picture of someone who had passed away, right, with Poncho as well. And there was some other people.
My nephew Dominic. Yeah.
Your nephew. Yeah, your nephew Dominic. Thank you for reminding me. I do remember the picture. I remember you stopping by. I appreciate that. Much love for that and for you asking and for come by. But, Carl, my honor. I appreciate it. It was really great. Thank you for doing that. Very cool. Look, this offense, I think it was Shakir, right? Going back to your point with Shakir, right?
Shakir
on the offense. I mean, this guy's just consistent, right? He just catches everything thrown his way. I do get a little concerned about, like, in big moments, like, where the main, you know, guy is going to be. If it's Shakir, it's Kincaid, that's fine. But do they have enough of that? Because Keon Coleman had no targets yesterday, and Matt Collins had no catches yesterday, and Curtis Samuel's still limited. So I wonder when a team takes away a little bit of that. How about this? If a team says, we're just going to stop your run, how about that even? If a team says, you're not going to run on us, what do the Bills have at wide receiver to be able to exploit that? Like, that's my concern when I see maybe going forward with some other games, right? And we'll find out on that.
But they did what works, and maybe they'll change it up when it stops working. And Cook with that long run was insane. So, again, I appreciate you. I'll let you go, and thanks for everything.
You got it, Carl. Yeah, you got it. No, thank you. Thank you. I do remember, and I appreciate you a lot, man. Appreciate that, too. Nico in Buffalo. Hold on, Nico. There you go, buddy. You're on, bud.
Hey, what's going on, Sal?
How are you, man?
Just curious. Watching the game last night, it just seems like these newer players, like, we had a huge roster turnover, and everyone was curious how that was going to look. And it just seems like these young players, whether it be like the offensive line, the defensive backfield, our receiving core, they just seem like they're stepping up, and it's almost like a seamless transition to where, like, we almost look better than we did last year. I'm curious if you think it's more so because of the system that they're coming into, if it's because just college players are coming out more ready to go than ever, or if, like, Bean is just, like, a mastermind when it comes to drafting. It just seems like they know exactly what to do. They know exactly where they have to be.
Yeah.
And it's working out, you know, better than I think. I mean, it's week two, but better than anyone thought it would. So I'll just hang up and listen to hear your thoughts on that.
Yeah, sure, Nico. Listen, it's a great question. I'm glad you asked this. Yeah, I do have a thought on this. Like, what is the reason? Like, how are they able to kind of have this next man up, successful mentality, execution? I think I think player development is great. It really is, right? I think the coaching is really good. But you know what? You don't have any of that without the consistency of the organization. How many times, folks, did we go through coaches or GMs here in Buffalo over 20 years? And what happens is when you change a GM, the new GM has a different thought on what the roster should look like. When you change a coach, he has a different thought on the roster and the philosophy of the team. I've said this many times. There are most organizations, not all of them. Of course, there are some that are really good. Kansas City, of course, has won Super Bowls, right? But most organizations in this league dream of and envy what the Buffalo Bills have in their consistency and model between ownership, front office, and coach. It allows them to see the long-term picture of drafting for what you need, not this year, but next year and the year after. It allows them to understand the players they want to develop into their system. That's what does it. If you're changing coaches or GMs every couple years, a guy like Jamarcus Ingram doesn't develop after 2 years on the practice squad to come and do what he does yesterday because he's got a whole new system he's got to learn. He's probably not even on the team anymore. That's the answer to me, Nico. The answer to why this is so successful here like this is because you don't normally see it in the league. And it's a front office and a staff working with a short-term and long-term vision in mind of what they want to be and how they want to develop each player. And because you're winning and you keep your coach and you keep your GM, they can keep doing that. That's the answer to me of what you're saying. All right, Josh Allen, after the game, Josh did wear the glove on his left hand yesterday, and he did have the one snap that he fumbled. I think otherwise it was a pretty good go of it for Josh Allen, but not great stats necessarily. Right? I mean, it was 13 of 19. That's really good. Not overwhelming stats like normal against the Miami Dolphins, but he didn't need to be overwhelming, and he was asked about all of that and spoke about it at the podium following the victory last night.
James Cook with three touchdowns all in the first half. How cool is that?
Awesome. Hat trick. He's been working hard. You know, each year he's gotten better. Seems like each week he's getting more comfortable and confident. You know, he's been begging for some goal line runs, and we gave it to him, and he got his touchdown down there, the long one. And then he found a way on that the first touchdown in the first quarter there. So can't be more happier for him and more proud of him. And, you know, he just continues to make plays for us.
How's the hand?
It's good. Feels great. Yeah. Yeah.
Through that pass to Ty Johnson on the before the James Cook 1 yard run, like what happened on that play?
Yeah, I mean, motioned him out there. We motioned Khalil across. You know, was feeling some sort of zone. Progressed it right to left. Had a little bit of just movement. Rolled out right. I saw the deep safety kind of, you know, jump something underneath. I saw Ty one on one with a backer. Felt like he kind of slipped inside. I just gave him a catchable ball, and he went up and made a play.
James Cook touchdown catch on that fourth down. Is there patience required to let him get out the flat?
Yeah, he has to find a way there. We had a lot of trust in him there. You know, I messed up the call, you know, before the timeout. Fortunately, called the same play and they changed the defense to really the defense that we were hoping to get. So it worked out, but can't be taking timeouts on the first drive. But they went zero. You know, I just gave a little eyes right just to hold some people, and knowing that I got the safety off the edge, you know, he's untouched, and just got to trust Jimbo to go get open there, and he did, made a play.
You went to Dalton two of the first three plays. Was that by design, or just where the ball went?
Just kind of where the ball went. Different options on different pass plays, and obviously want to continue to get him the ball more and get him involved, especially early in the game, you know, and force defenses to really key in on him. So just kind of how it happened.
You heard on the bench tonight, running to the bands. Is that just the way it worked out?
Yeah, hands are okay, though. It didn't fall on the hands. Yeah, it just comes up quick sometimes on the sideline when you throw it 1 inch off from the sideline. So, yeah, head on a swivel over there.
Josh, what's it like, unfortunately, to see Tua go down like that, another quarterback, and in that way?
Yeah, very sad. That's, you know, the worst part of the game. You know, nothing but love and prayers sent into him and his family, and hopefully everyone's sending those because he's going to need them. And, yeah, it's the worst part of the game.
Josh, what can you say about the defense for this team? I mean, they're going through it on that side of the ball with some significant injuries, but to hold that offense to 10 points.
Unbelievable job. And lose TB in the first quarter. Baylen comes in. He's the green dot. Makes some plays. J-Mark comes in, makes some plays. You know, you look at the stat sheet, I don't know what our numbers were, but I know we were really low in time of possession, and we were probably really low in total yards, but still managed to put up 31 points, and that means your defense is doing something right. So they had our back tonight, and we're going to need them going forward. And I'm just very proud of how guys stepped up into their roles, and they played together. You know, when you play together like that, you're typically going to have good results.
Josh, going off of that, what does it say about this team on a short week to come out and have that kind of complete performance on both sides of the ball?
Yeah, don't blink mentality, just drop the football, let's play. Got a lot of faith in the guys that we have in this room. You know, I think it starts with our pass rush. You know, Von Miller had some he looked like Von Miller tonight. You know, that's what I told him. I mean, he had one spin move. He didn't get there, but one spin move, that was pretty scary. You know, and Greg Rousseau out there again making plays. Ed Oliver, you name it. You know, those guys are straining each and every play, and they're working together right now, and we're holding up at the back end, so it's good to see.
Two wins in 5 days with a lot of unknowns a week ago at this time. What have you discovered about this offense?
Well, it's still early, but I'm very proud of the guys, how they're handling it. You know, that the everybody eats approach. We're just trying to find the open guy and get everybody involved. But guys are stepping up to the plate, and they're making plays when their numbers are called. So got to keep working. And, again, tonight's a weird one because you get the ball so close to your end zone, three different possessions. You know, it was a fourth down stop. There was two turnovers. We got it over there. So, again, it's not going to be eye-popping numbers on the stat sheet, but when you can put up those type of numbers on the scoreboard, that's all you care about. But, again, as time goes on, there's going to be more opportunity for our guys to go make some plays.
Josh, what can you say about the fans walking off the field with your arms up? That's got to be pretty cool to do that not at Highmark Stadium.
Yeah, I mean, this is a fun one to play at. Our fans travel very well. They travel very well here. And, you know, we appreciate that. We feed off the energy that they give us, so thank you, Bills Mafia.
Huh? Was there a fan that you told that you had to leave?
Nah.
Did you like the Poyer at all?
Pre-game, I talked to him a little bit. You know, he's love that guy.
The last question was about Jordan Poyer, by the way. They asked if he, Jordan Poyer, you know, if Josh had talked to Jordan, he said, I saw him pregame. Was there a fan he asked to leave or something? I don't know what happened there. There was a lot of banter going on between the fans and the Bills bench towards the end of the game when the game was in hand. Bills were kneeling it out. It was great to see. Always is. It's a great scene in Miami when the fans come down, or any road game. Bills fans come down right by the wall, and you know, they're interacting with their team and, you know, having a good time. So really great game last night, and really honestly, just the weekend now, right? Kick your feet up, enjoy it. Good weather, I think it's going to be all weekend. Watch other teams go at it. Enjoy your Sunday. And then it's another week, 2 weekends in a row you get to do this, by the way. Actually, yeah, 2 weekends in a row you get to do this, which is kick your feet up and watch other teams play. The difference is this weekend, the Bills have already played. They're 2-0. And next weekend after that, it is they're going to play later, which is a Monday night. And actually 3 weekends in a row, if you think about it, because there's a Sunday night game against the Ravens. So yeah, lots of night games still coming up here. Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show is a Buffalo Victory Football Friday. And it's brought to you by Salino Law. Car crash, call Salino. And by Crosby's Pizza and Subs, start your day the Crosby's way. We'll take a timeout here on the Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show. And we'll take more of your phone calls. And I guess just get into it. Like I said, we're going to do some stats and stuff. But hey, whatever you want to talk about. If you want to give a call, 803-0550. That takes us to this break, and we'll be back in a snap. Brought to you by Snapdragon Apples, the official apple of the Buffalo Bills.
Thompson back to pass, and he's sacked! Von Miller beat the right tackle badly and got right in on Thompson for a turnover on downs. Back to pass. Allen wide open to Cook in the left flat, racing to the end zone. And is he in? Yes, he is. The Cook has found the kitchen on a 17-yard touchdown reception.
Once again, Chris Brown on the Buffalo Bills radio network on the call there. All right, we have a few minutes if you want to jump on board, but I want to do a few other things here before we do that. We can get to some calls. We have some lined up, but actually let's get to those calls and then we'll kind of run through yesterday a little bit. We'll look ahead to this weekend as well. Tom in North Tonawanda, what's going on, buddy?
Hey, Sal, you know me. This is a glorious day, and last night was...
I don't want to talk to you. I'm already out of your Survivor League, okay? I'm out. I got with the death pool. I got eliminated right away. So, you know, I'm taking it out on you, pal.
Well, you can take it out on me, but, you know, I did the same thing you did last week, so, you know, we can sit here in misery, and you don't have to keep track of it for the rest of the year. I still do, so.
No, that's right. Now, listen, here's the other thing, Tom. Tom's been calling a long time, and it's great. We've hooked up, and we've become friends, and Tom runs a death pool, and in your death pool, I took Cincinnati or New England last week, and I lost. Now, I did the same thing in Paul Hamilton's, but he allows a buyback, so bought back in, so I'm still alive for week number two, so that's the good news.
Well, good luck. I hope you took Miami in that one. But, hey, just a few things here. First, I'm going to start with something I didn't bring up. Is it's great to see Von Miller having that first step back. And at his age, after two ACL injuries, to be able to get off the ball that quickly just amazes me. But, you know, you've touched on it some. The way the Bills developed some of these guys, these Cam Lewis and Jamarcus Ingram and players that were on the practice squad for a few years, and I don't know how many teams are able to do this, but they've got so many players on their roster. I mean, you can also throw in Anderson, Vandermark, Quint Morris. These are all guys that spent a year or more on a practice squad, and they're out there and they're playing. And now some of them are starting to really make big contributions. And the coaching staff, the scouting staff, for finding these gems that are just sitting out there and weren't drafted and sitting around. Somebody really deserves a lot of credit there. And those are the types of guys. They might not by themselves win them a championship, but it's the type of depth and ability you need to be able to plug those guys in that'll really, really helps a team, can take them a long way. And I just sit back and look, and I, you know, that's something I don't think they get enough credit for.
You've been watching this team a long time, Tom. I know we're about the same age, and, you know, I just said to a caller earlier, you know, it's the perfect kind of system that keeps giving, because you have a GM and a head coach that are good at their jobs, but also in alignment, and you can continue to draft for the future as well as the present. And that just, that helps, because when you go through all the different cycles of head coaches and GMs, you don't have that because everybody's drafting and now you're changing the roster for different things. And that's why the Bills were basically in like cap hell when Brandon Bean took over, because they have to change everything from what Rex Ryan did. When Rex Ryan took over from Doug Marrone, they have to change everything. But Doug Marrone takes over Chan Gailey, they have to change everything. The list goes on and on. You know what I mean?
Absolutely. Absolutely. They've got it in. They've got a system in, and they've got the support underneath them too. And it just right now it's really producing well, and just love seeing, you know, a player like Jamarcus Ingram get his moment last night, and you know, even get interviewed on an Amazon Prime after the game. For a guy like that, you just love to see it, and you know their patience with him. Time on the practice squad, coming along slowly, getting a call up here and there, and now he's out there on national TV producing, and it's great to see. And Cam Lewis, it's almost some, you know, Taron Johnson's great, but he's filled in, and he's sure as heck ain't hurting them at all out there.
Yeah. You got it, buddy. Good to talk to you. Have a great weekend.
All right, thanks. Good to talk to you.
All right, you got it. Speaking of Jamarcus Ingram, Josh wants to chime in on him. What's going on, Josh?
Hey, how's it going, guys?
Good, thanks.
I just want to say it was very, very electrifying yesterday watching Jamarcus Ingram play, man. I'm happy that the Bills are finally looking into local products and taking local products and using them, you know. It's just, it was awesome watching him play yesterday. But anyways, I'll hang up and listen, man, and go Bills.
Yeah, for sure. Listen, I mean, we get this a lot, right, which is why do the Bills look at more of local guys or there's more gems under there? Well, actually, there is a correlation here of why this is happening. And, excuse me. And Brandon Bean, actually, we talked about this. He said, you know, you have to think about the fact that the Bills, their local pro day, right? Josh, when they have a local pro day, right? So Josh, you were just calling from North Carolina. So let's say you're around Chapel Hill, you know, North Carolina, you're where the Panthers are, right? The Panthers, I'm guessing, they get Duke and they get North Carolina. They get all these schools that they can have at their pro day that they can bring to their facility or this extra look at them. That's what the Bills have here at UB. The Bills got a chance to look at Jamarcus Ingram, look at Cam Lewis, look at Joe Andreessen, because that's their local school. They also have Pitt. That's why the Bills have had success with Pitt. It's an extra day when you have the local school. Each team has local schools. There's some definitions what local is, right? How far they are away, and local people if they live locally. So there actually is a correlation there. But it's not new or unique necessarily. It's just been happening at a higher level, I think, right now. But, you know, you also shouldn't just draft people or sign people because they're local. You shouldn't do that. That's bad business. That's how you operate if you're into it for PR or business. And that's not a good thing. The Bills are trying to win football games. But, yes, there is a correlation there, just so you know, and that's how it works. Mike in Hamburg, what's going on, Mike?
Hey, guys, how are you doing?
I'm good, thanks.
Okay, here's my situation. I'm happy the Bills won, of course. I'm a big-time Bills Mafia fan. However, I am very disappointed at a lot of the Bills fans trolling the internet, saying such damaging and bad things about what happened to Tua yesterday. Tua is a human being, like we all are. And he may have just lost his career. All the work that he's put in over his lifetime to be a professional athlete and to be a high talented player. And I've watched some things on Facebook that are disgusting. And
wow, Mike, I think you can go on Facebook and see a lot of things that are disgusting or social, any social, Twitter. And I agree with you. Like I see it. I see things and these are, sometimes it's people I know and respect. I'm like, whoa, come on. Like, what, right? Like, for anything in life, I'm saying it doesn't have to be this particular situation. And people, unfortunately, have fun with or make fun of a lot of things that I don't particularly think are funny and are serious. And I agree with you.
That's
right.
What happens to them or their family?
No, I know. But, Mike, but what I'll also say is, though, there are many, 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 many more people who are showing compassion and trying to donate to his charity.
Of course.
To me, and you know, you can't, as you know, you and I, you can't tell anybody how to act or live, or you can't, you know, force. But what we can do, I think, is to try at least focus more on the positive and see the good that people are trying to do or care about or have that compassion for. And that's okay, where I try to lean, because we know that the other side exists.
Let me say one thing more.
Yeah.
What we need to do in this society is the parents need to step up and teach their kids. They're not doing it.
Okay.
And the kids that are coming up, this is the problem. I'm sorry, it's the problem.
Well, Mike, we're going down a different road here than everything, but I appreciate it and respect what you're saying about the Tua situation, but I think we're going down a little bit of a rabbit hole here if you don't mind, all right? So I'm going to move on and say I agree with your take though about, you know, seeing those whatever memes or jokes, and you know, people are doing that. I mean, come on. It's disgusting, and of course, right? But it's the far more majority is people who are showing compassion and caring, you know, for what happened last night. And, you know, of course, Bills Mafia, there's people trying to, you know, donate to his charity and doing something like that, which we've seen in the past as well. But, you know, it's an unfortunate situation. And as we know, in a lot of things in life, it's not just that. And by the way, when you say Bills fans doing it, I also want to bring up the point. I see a lot of people. It's not just Bills fans. And it's unfortunate. But, you know, I try to be more on the other side of things, which I look at and focus on the positive, and some people think I'm too Pollyanna like that sometimes. I've been accused of that. It's why people call up. It's so funny. Like, you know, you get your person tweeting me today that I was being rude or jerky to callers or whatever, and I don't really understand. We're just having a discussion. But for the most part, it's usually the opposite, which is such a homer and protect the team and, you know, love Sean McDermott too much and those kinds of things. I will admit, though, that the my nature, like what I think is one of my better qualities in life, can also be something that hurts me in life, which is I can be a little too optimistic and positive. And I know, and you guys, a lot of people look at things with a critical lens and are very right to do so. And sometimes I'm quick to point out the more positive, but that's just the way I'm natural and live in my life. So it happens and it comes out like that, maybe on the radio. But you know, I think that you have to have that balance of everybody, and that's what makes this whole thing go around. Not to get too philosophical. Let's take a time out. We will do that here. We will come back. We'll wrap up with a look at the weekend NFL schedule. Good call, Mike. I appreciate you calling. I really do about that. And, yeah, I mean, you know, it was a serious situation. It is. And, you know, hopefully we'll get more, you know, positive news on Tua, but we'll see where it goes with him. We'll take a time out here on the Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show.
Looking over the middle, pressure coming, has to heave it, and it's intercepted, coming the other way, and going for six is Jamarcus Ingram, a 30-yard interception return for a touchdown, Tua's third pick of the night.
All right, here we go. I told you earlier, it's always nice to just sit back, kick up the feet, watch other games while your team is 2-0 and sitting in the catbird seat, right? I think that's the right term, the catbird seat, 2-0. First place, AFC East in the penthouse. Sunday, 1 p.m. Keep that music going, brother. We're going to talk some football here. Let's go. Bring some NFL music up. Let's go. Raiders at Ravens at 1 p.m. I mean, come on, the Ravens should take care of business, right? They've had plenty of time to prepare, and the Raiders just not look like they're going to be a good team this year. Team they lost to last week is the L.A. Chargers. They go on the road to take on the Carolina Panthers. Pretty sure the Chargers should be going 2-0 here in Carolina. Could be a very long season again in Carolina after what we saw last week. They got blown out by the New Orleans Saints, who do travel to the Dallas Cowboys. This is a fun, interesting NFC game early on. Saints put up, 40-plus points last week, whatever that was. And are they going to do that against Dallas? Or is it just because Carolina's bad? Well, we'll see. Dallas, interesting. Nice game last week in Cleveland. Good NFC game in Dallas here in week two. 1 o'clock start, Saints at Cowboys. The Buccaneers visit the Lions, a battle of two 1-0 teams. Buccaneers looked very good. I gave them my sit-up last week. Lions, we know, are a good team. Won in overtime against the Rams. Should be a very interesting matchup. These two teams seem like they play every year. They used to play every year in the same division. They're not in the same division anymore, but it still seems like they play every year. Buccaneers at Lions, 1 p.m. All right, the Colts are at the Packers. Did I see, Josh, did I see that Jordan Love could actually play this week? Was that something I heard? Did I not hear that right?
He hasn't been ruled out, so I would assume. Okay. Yeah, I don't I doubt it though, man.
I mean, yeah. you got to practice all week. I don't know. I'm expecting Malik Willis. I picked up the Colts defense in fantasy because if it's Malik Willis, I just think that the Packers are just going to keep everything close to the vest, not risk much, and I like the Colts defense in that matchup. Boy, if it's Jordan Love, that'd be amazing after that injury he suffered on that opening weekend. Colts at Packers, both teams 0-1 looking for their first win. Browns are at the Jags. Man, two teams reeling for two different reasons. Number one, the Jags blowing a big lead last week against the Dolphins. You know, that was they were up not only 17-3, but walking into the end zone for a 24-3 lead, punched out from Travis Etienne. The Dolphins come back to win it, and they just did not take care of business. Bills play the Jags in a week from Monday night. And then the Browns, of course, what is going on with their offense and Deshaun Watson? I shouldn't even put it that way. I think we all know what's going on. They kind of stink with Deshaun Watson under center. And their fans are letting everybody hear it and know about it. And it is just not good right now in Cleveland with Deshaun Watson at quarterback. And it's not good being 0-1 and traveling to Jacksonville, another 0-1 team who needs a win. 49ers at Vikings. How about the Vikings? Nice win to start the season, but it was the Giants. Niners, Christian McCaffrey, we'll see about. Hopefully you got Jordan Mason picked up in your fantasy league. Niners look really good last night against the Jets. 1-0 against 1-0. San Fran at Minnesota. Seattle goes across the country to play the New England Patriots. All right, we'll see a little bit more about the Patriots. Nice win for them last week at the Bengals. Can they roll it in again to roll it over to another win? Seahawks, I'm not as high on them this year. They had a decent win last week, but I think Denver kind of let them off the hook a little bit here and there. I wouldn't doubt the Patriots could win this game. But I do think the Seahawks, I don't know. Maybe the Patriots do win. Maybe I'm buying into a little bit of what they did last week, but it's really more about the Bengals than it was the Patriots last week. So we'll see if the Patriots can keep. How about this? Can the Patriots keep pace with the Buffalo Bills in the division and both be 2-0? Jets did not look good last week on Monday night. D-line got pushed around after the first quarter. Aaron Rodgers looked immobile and older. That's what he is, right? Now they go to the Titans, though, an opportunity here against a Will Levis team that Will Levis, if he makes those mistakes against the Jets, it's lights out against that defense. Sorry. Jets have a great chance to kind of rebound here, but they got to be careful in this situation. Jets could fall to 0-2 if they don't step up their defensive performance from that second half of last week's game against the Niners. Giants are at the Commanders, two 0-1 teams in the NFC East. Jaden Daniels, not too bad in his debut, made some nice plays. Giants, they just do not look like they're going to get off the mat. Now Malik Neighbors, offensively. Now Malik Neighbors is dealing with an injury. Injury popped up yesterday at practice for Malik Neighbors. Rams are at the Cardinals. Cardinals, you know, have a chance. They're both 0-1. Rams overtime. Cardinals lose in Buffalo. Steelers at the Broncos. We'll run through the last few here because we got about a minute left. Steelers at the Broncos. We'll see if the Steelers can keep it going after six field goals gets them the win last week. Bengals at Chiefs. That's your 425 game. I don't expect much from the Bengals right now. I just think Joe Burrow, this could be something, unfortunately, that compromises like his career, the way it looks with his wrist. But the Chiefs have plenty of time to prepare. Bengals didn't look good last week on offense. Bengals at Chiefs. Jamar Chase situation not settled. T. Higgins could be out again. So, yeah. Bears at Texans. That's your Sunday night game. Chance to see Caleb Williams go against C.J. Stroud. Monday night, Falcons at Eagles. Thanks a lot for hanging with me today on the Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show on a Buffalo Bills Victory Football Friday. What do we got now? Is it Sabres Live or One Bills Live? What are we doing next? Are we doing 3 hours or is it Sabres Live? All right. It is One Bills Live. All right. 3 hours of One Bills Live coming up after this. You're going to get that for 3 hours. Show up in the Bulldog. It's a Buffalo Football Friday. We're going to recap and keep it rolling on the Bills' big 31-10 win over the Miami Dolphins yesterday to start the season 2-0.